Ever since their introduction in the 19th century, European carp have become an ever-growing pest species in Australian waterways. The Australian government has announced their plan to release a herpes virus attacking the carp. The result of Carpageddon is an expensive clean-up bill to clear the carcasses. However, native endangered species could provide a helping hand. Chris Jansen has this report.
The Murray-Darling Basin is a key site for marine biology and ecology in New South Wales. However, after being introduced by British settlers in the 19th century, European carp have taken over the site, now accounting for 83% of all fish in the area. The introduced and invasive species is causing so much concern that in May of 2016, Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce addressed the Parliament with his thoughts on the nasty pest, as well as the contribution that the Australian government would make.
It was great to be able to announce the $15 million that we will put towards the eradication of carp. We are afflicted in this nation, we are afflicted with this bottom-dwelling, mud-sucking creatures for which the only form of control is a version of herpes to try and get rid of these disgusting, mud-sucking creatures.
However, due to their sheer numbers, carp are starting to pose a serious threat. Dr. Keller Kopf is a professor in aquatic ecology at Charles Sturt University and acknowledges the harm that they are causing.
Carp are also the most abundant species of fish in the Murray-Darling Basin. They comprise anywhere between 60 to 90% of all fish biomass. As a result of that, they're consuming a huge amount of the food resources that are available for native fish to eat.
Therefore, the pledged $15 million is in part going towards the study of what Mr. Joyce earlier referred to as a herpes control, a virus which could be released into the Murray River purely to target the carp. The virus has been extremely effective in eradicating carp in other parts of the world, and Dr. Kopf believes this would offer multiple benefits to our waterways.
By effectively controlling carp with the release of koi herpes virus, we're potentially freeing up a lot of food resources for native fish and potentially having impacts on improving water quality, reducing the amount of sediments that are present in the water column. There's a whole range of potential impacts that carp have on ecosystems, and by releasing this virus, we're hoping that we'll see some benefit for native species and aquatic ecosystems more generally in the Murray-Darling.
There is a problem with this approach, though, that has ominously been named Carpageddon. The virus is expected to be extremely effective, leaving behind a plethora of carp carcasses that Mr. Joyce believes will be difficult to deal with.
But we don't want to have to deal with carp. We've got to get rid of the carp when we deal with this virus. Do you know, Mr. Speaker, that we're going to have between 500,000 and 2 million tonnes of carp? We'll have to bury the carp, we'll have to put it outside, put it in the paddocks.
While scientists have suggested that some of the dead carp would actually decompose naturally, the reality is that the physical removal of the carcasses could cost up to $30 million for the New South Wales government alone. However, there is a cheaper solution that also has potential to help some native Australian wildlife. Scavengers such as turtles and crayfish would happily relish the opportunity to help clean up, but Dr. Ricky Spencer, an associate professor in ecology at the University of Western Sydney, is worried the endangered species might miss the banquet.
The scavengers in the system, the turtles, the crayfish, other fish, could be really important for the cleanup of the carp. That's what their job is, to basically clean up dead things in the river. The problem is that many of our scavengers are actually on the decline themselves.
40% of worldwide turtle species are at risk of extinction, making them the most vulnerable group of animals to inhabit the earth. Miss Katie Howard, a doctorate student at the University of Western Sydney who specialises in turtles, fears for our shelled friends.
Bruce Chessman's work along the Murray, he detected really severe declines, both in the population themselves but also the number of juveniles, and in some areas the number of juveniles reduced from 25 or 28% to zero. So you're definitely talking about ongoing persistent issues.
One suggestion to benefit the turtles is a concept referred to as headstarting, a process of breeding turtles in captivity and then releasing them to take care of the carp.
So that's what headstarting is, essentially protecting the eggs, incubating them, raising them and then releasing them into the river. And then essentially we can release these vacuum cleaners at the river throughout, you know, a whole range of different regions.
Ms. Howard believes that we need to be careful with implementing such a process.
So head starting sort of goes around the issue without directly solving the problems as to why the turtles have declined in the first place. And sometimes that tactic can be used as a short-term tactic whilst you work out how to deal with the other issues.
Nevertheless, while the turtles would undoubtedly benefit from Carpageddon, Dr. Kopf remains realistic in the exact amount of assistance they could provide.
I think that turtle and crayfish populations are likely to benefit from the mass mortalities of carp, but at the same time, it's, in my opinion, pretty unlikely that they're going to be able to consume enough of the dead carp to make much of a dent in the total biomass of fish.
One thing is for sure, though, Mr. Joyce seems clearly determined in the objective of the Australian government.
We want the Murray to be a healthy river. We on the coalition are going to make sure that we have a healthy river and a healthy economy, because we're going to get rid of the carp.
Australian Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce emphatically ending that report by Chris Jansen.